I am Joy, and I'm an addict and an alcoholic. Woo! I am very nervous. let's get started. My sobriety date is June 24th of 2022. And before I actually get started, I just want to let you guys know how honored I am to be here this morning. Without this program, I would not be here. I was born on December 17th of 1983, week before Christmas. I was born in Winder, Georgia. When I was born, my parents, I was born into chaos. The day I was born, my dad asked my mom for a divorce on the delivery table. Divorce papers in hand. And I was reminded of that a lot as a child. By the time I was 2 years old, by the time I was 8 months old, my mom had met my stepdad, and they got married 3 days before I turned 2 years old. And that was my dad. That was the person that I called daddy. And he loved me. My parents loved me a lot. They struggled financially a little bit in the beginning when my mom was a single mother. My brother, who was almost 6 years older than me, when my biological dad left, she struggled. For that time until she met my dad. And my dad pretty much came in and became the father that we both needed. When growing up, we were never in poverty, but my parents struggled. We never had extra, but we always had food on the table, and we had a wood-burning stove in our house. I grew up in a little tiny brick house, and that was our source of heat during the wintertime. Water, chickens, and rabbits, and goats, and I even had a baby deer for about 3 months when I was growing up. I loved animals, and I loved life. I was a happy kid for the most part. As a young child. But as much as I was full of joy, early on, I was molested at the age of 6 by a family friend. And that was the hardest thing I think that a child will ever go through, especially when the thing came to when I told my mom about it. The hardest part was I believed that she was going to do something about it, and she did not. Years later, I'd find out that she never even told my dad. So even though that had happened, I still thrived in life. I was in tap and ballet as a child. I was very athletic. I went into gymnastics and I excelled. Anything that I put my mind to as a child, I would excel in. And it's because I just would get super focused. I learned how to, at an early age, push the bad stuff down and not think about it. So regardless of that, and I would later find out that that same man who molested me had been doing it to his own 3 children. And that was why he was on our couch in my house the day he did that to me, is because his wife had found out. I would later find out that when I was a teenager. So, growing up, at the age of 10, or at the age of 11, my parents both got laid off. They worked at the same job, and because of their layoff, they were either required to go to Ohio, or they were going to get laid off. So they decided to take their severance pay, and we moved to Charleston, South Carolina. When we moved, my brother decided to stay. He was 17 years old, and he did not move with us. When I got to Charleston, you know, I wasn't real happy to go. I didn't want to uproot my life, but it was absolutely, living in Charleston was, it was nothing like it. It was a great place to grow up. I lived on John's Island. I don't know if any of y'all are aware. There is a huge angel oak tree on John's Island, and it is magnificent. And it had, I grew up about a mile from there. And it was a beautiful place. I mean, it was 1995. My parents moved into a double wide trailer, brand new double wide trailer on John's Island. And, the school systems on John's Island were not good. So, my mom asked, because I was a good student, my mom had special circumstances to have me moved over to James Island because their school's districts were better. What that meant, though, is that every morning I would have to cross two bridges to get to my school. So if any time those bridges were out, I wasn't going to school. But I managed to get through school. I excelled in school a lot. I was in sales classes. I was in AP classes, good grades, cheerleading. But I also had this God-sized hole at that point in my life. And the year that I turned 15 years old, my life turned upside down even more. In that same year, I got my first job at a barbecue restaurant. I got my first car. I went to Australia. I lost my virginity that same year in Australia. Holy shit. To my boyfriend that I had met on this People to People Sudan Ambassador program, and spent 3 weeks in Australia, changed my life for the better. I got to see some of the most beautiful countryside. I mean, we spent 3,000 miles of, you know, tour buses going through Australia from top to bottom. It was an experience I could never, ever in my life want to go back. But that same year, I went and visited my grandfather in Atlanta, and my brother came to see me, and my mom was with me, and I actually had a friend with me, and my brother got us both drunk. And as I recall it, and this was the first time I ever drank, as I recall it, I'm pretty sure he had tried to, at that point, to do something with my friend, but I don't recall anything else other than that my brother raped me that night. And it took me many years to overcome that word. I didn't even want to admit that that's what he did to me that night. Because at that point in my mind, I had already been sexually active and I didn't understand. I just knew it was incest and I didn't understand it. I was so ashamed. It broke me. And that was when the wheels fell off for me. As far as thinking that I was important, I was special, that God was in my life. And even though I didn't realize what was happening to me, it propelled me into this anger that I lived with for a long time. I started driving rebelliously. I got 11 tickets in 2 years, 11 speeding tickets in 2 years. I did my first line of cocaine at 17 years old at my prom. And I was smoking pot. I didn't drink again because I was so scared of what might happen if I drank again. But everywhere else, I was doing the most risky and deplorable behaviors. I started going to raves. I started using ecstasy. I would tell my mom I was going to my friend's house. She would say the same, and we would haul ass to Jacksonville, Florida, North Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. We would just travel over the weekends, and we would do copious amounts of ecstasy, and then come back to school and still get straight A's Monday morning in high school. By that point, cheerleading stopped being a priority. School started to slip. And then I met my first husband, Chris, which would be my first husband, Chris, at the age of 17. I was in 11th grade, going into 12th grade, and I got pregnant with my first daughter, Alexis. That was devastating for me, because at that point, I might have had a shot at going to college. I might have had a shot at getting out or getting away, you know. And but at the same time, it was like I had this feeling that I just had to do the right thing. So I decided to keep her. And I realized I was so ill-equipped. I cried a lot when I was pregnant. I cried a lot. And I think it was because I knew I was losing the child that I had not even grown up to be. I was losing that part of me at such an early age. And so she came, and I was happy. She was beautiful, and I was so happy to be a mom, though. At 18 years old, I was so happy, and it was like giving that moment, it was like I had another reason at that point in my life to live. So, as I've always done, no matter how bad things are, I just push the bad down and I keep going. And I got a job at the age of 19 at State Farm Insurance, and as a receptionist, and I worked my ass off to become a licensed insurance agent at the age of 20. And I started making a life for myself with her father. But on the back end, I was starting to become a weekend warrior, where alcohol, marijuana, and cocaine became a weekend thing. And then we got married. I was under a lot of pressure from my family and his family to get married, and that it was the right thing to do. We bought a house, and deep down inside of me, I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did anyway. I cried the day of my wedding so much. I didn't even have any makeup on when I walked down the aisle because I'd been crying, and I was drunk. But it happened, and then it fell apart as quickly as it, as we got married, it fell apart. And so I found myself 18 months after we had gotten married. It was abusive at that point. And he had punched me, and I had to throw a chair to get him away from me and Alexis, and we left. I packed my shit up, and I went back to Charleston from Beaufort, where I'd been living for 3 years, and I decided to start over. All the while, at that point, I decided to put the two middle fingers up, basically. And I ensued to have a relationship with the best man of our wedding, which didn't go over very well. Very shortly after that, Alexis's dad, I got a call after, so I left her dad at the age of 4, about 18 months after that, I got a phone call, I was on the way back from Charleston. I was bringing Alexis with me, and she had been with her dad, and she told me that her dad had molested her. I couldn't get away from it. The sexual misconduct in my life has been a key point of the trauma that has been in my family for a long time. I dealt with it the best I knew how to. I put her in therapy for 2 years because I knew I had not gotten that. I would be damned if my daughter wasn't going to have someone let her know it wasn't her fault. So he never got in trouble for it because it was in two different counties where I reported it versus where it had happened. And criminally, I could not get him charges pressed. So anyway, at that point, back in Charleston, I was at a different State Farm agency. Life was falling apart. I had to move back in with my mom at that point. The drugs had gotten bad after that had happened. I made decisions to help my daughter, but I wasn't making decisions to help myself. And I didn't know how to do that. So very shortly after that, I met Abby's dad, Chad. And within a few weeks, months, I was pregnant with Abigail. Of meeting him. Here we go again. So I go through a pregnancy, and this one was hard on my body. I gained a lot of weight with Abigail, and I'm a tiny person, and I was depressed. I was very depressed at that point in my life, but I've always managed to take care of myself when I was pregnant with my children. I am so grateful that every time that I decided to get pregnant, or that when God decided to give me a child, that there was no doubt in my mind that drugs or alcohol were not in my system. And I am so grateful that is the case for me. But I was really depressed, and I wasn't in a good spot when I had Abby, to the point that 3 weeks after I had her, I was breastfeeding, and I had to stop breastfeeding because I went to COP, and I could no longer breastfeed my child. Abby's dad and me, we were just not good for each other. He was an alcoholic, and I had my own problems, and defects came into our life that 9 months after Abby was born. Chad had been drinking and driving with the girls in the car, and he had wrecked. And somehow, some way, defects got called. And because I was aware of it, even though I was not involved in it, and I did not report it, and I was just as much at fault, so the girls got taken. And I am so grateful, though, that at that point in my life, I knew that I needed something. I just didn't know. And I had started attending this little tiny church on John's Island. And I had met the pastor and his wife. And Alexis's school friend, Dax and Melanie, really adored Alexis. And they were, the pastor and his wife were the parents of Dax and Melanie. And when they found out that I was, and I'd only attended that church maybe two or three times, but when they found out that the kids had been taken, they offered to take my girls so that they wouldn't go into foster care. And I was so grateful because they were right around the corner. Even though I couldn't see them, I knew they were safe. But that was not until they had to go separate ways for 6 weeks prior to that until they got approved. Alexis went with one family and Abby went with another. And that broke my heart. But looking back on that, I'm grateful for the pastor and his wife because they really took care of my kids. I got to see them take care of my kids. When I finally got visitation rights in place, I would get to see them at church, so I was going to church every Sunday because it was important to see my kids because that's where I got to see them. And then I would be able to see them right after church for 2 hours. And I worked really, really hard. I was dry that time in my life, but I stayed sober long enough to get my kids back. It was horrible. I was being hair follicle tested. I had to go through so many classes, so many hoops. I had to get my own place. I had to have a full-time job. I had to do all of these things. I landed a job at Comcast. I don't know how this happened, but I landed a job at Comcast, and they promoted me directly into direct sales, and I started killing it. I just started making a boatload of money and had benefits and everything, and all the while, all this stuff was going on my personal front, but it's just like when I put my mind to it, I was just like every time it made a way. So, 2 years later, I got my kids back. And the day that I got Abby and Alexis back, or the day after I got Abby and Alexis back, I was served with divorce papers from Chad. And then the following day, I went to go pick Abby up from daycare and she was gone. And I did not see my 2-year-old after that for almost 3 years. Chad took her to Springfield, Missouri, and I had no idea where. I packed my shit up with Alexis, and I came back to Georgia in 2011. And I decided to start over, or I thought I was going to start over. We all do it. We make those locational changes, and that doesn't fix it. If anything, it got worse. I had a hole inside of me at that point. I could not figure out how to fill. And I filled it with men and alcohol and drugs. I put my oldest daughter in a lot of really compromising situations because of that. And it was bad. It was really bad for a long time, but I came to realize that I needed help. So the first time I came into AA, well, the first time I came into AA was at 23. I stayed for less than 15 minutes and I hauled right out of there. I knew I had a problem, but AA wasn't for me at that point in my life. I tried it again at age 27 after I had briefly dated a guy that I met, the guy I met in AA. And man, that was rough. That was rough. And still more drugs, harder drugs at this point. I had graduated from doing ecstasy and Molly to cocaine, crack cocaine, and then ensued methamphetamines. And I just, when I came into AA at 27, I saw that I wanted something that they had. I just didn't want to be alone. The seed had not really planted other than that there was some kind of help there. But I wasn't willing to do anything about it. I didn't feel right yet coming to there and saying, why would I tell you guys all my crap? I wasn't ready. And then, so I met James, and that was the last boyfriend that I had before what I would call a spiritual experience happened to me. James wooed me, and he is actually the person who I used for the first time methamphetamines with. He took me to all of these 3-star, 4-star hotels and basically wined and dined me. And then when he introduced me to methamphetamines, I thought I had arrived. When I got to that drug specifically, I felt like everything was okay. And it was only the tip of the iceberg of what was to ensue after that. So, at this point, some really bad things were happening with me. I started losing a lot of weight. I started getting really sick from the meth use. I started taking Xanax with it so that I could fall asleep from it. And my body started just deteriorating very quickly. I'm a tiny person, and I was doing copious amounts of drugs that I don't know how I lived through. My body started shutting down at one point. I had a fever of 106 degrees, and all my liver, my kidneys, my bladder, everything was being poisoned. My pee was brown, and I was dying. I had to go to the hospital. I was in hospital. I was septic, basically, when I got there. And my mom had no idea how bad it had gotten because she hadn't even seen me at that point. And so that was, and then that weekend, though, that's where this really gets crazy. That weekend, I almost, in all of the crazy that was going on, I had the intention of killing a woman with my car, vehicular homicide. I found out she was having sex with James, and I decided that I was going to run her down with my car while she was packing her shit and getting out of my house. And I saw her at the top of the road. I put my foot on the pedal, and I pushed it through, pushed it as fast as I could go up that hill with her in sight. And let me tell you something, and I don't know how this happened. I just don't know. And to this day, I'm so grateful, but I just heard the word stop of a voice that I cannot describe. And I did. I slammed my brakes on so hard because it took what it took. I actually did bump her very so lightly by the time the vehicle had stopped, come to a stop. I would now know, many years later, as I was working in this program, that was a spiritual experience for me. I did not want to stop that car. But I did, because something bigger than me had told me to stop. I packed my shit up and went home to my mother at that point, and that's when she realized how bad things were. Took me to the hospital. I was 98 pounds. And I was, my body was shutting down. And so those 3 months that I was recovering from all of that in my mom's house, my mom prayed over me a lot. My mom did the best that she could throughout these years. And she prayed me to health. I was so depressed. It didn't stop. It didn't stop there. So I got better, but I didn't go into AA right off the bat. I picked myself up one last time from that, where I thought. And I started living life again the best I knew how to. And that's when I met my current husband, Ryan. And he was gentle and he was kind to me. He didn't want sex from me. He just wanted to be my friend. And that was all I needed at that point in my life, as a friend. And I fell in love with him, as, you know, as that happens when someone is your friend that's handsome. And here we go, baby number three. Addie. I found out I was pregnant with Addie on Christmas Day, 2007. So we started to make a life. And this time it was different. I trusted him. He always wanted the best interest in me. And he was patient with me while I was trying to live my life right. A month before I had found out I was pregnant at Thanksgiving. I had told Ryan, and we had used together, and we continued to use together on and off. But I had told Ryan a month before I even conceived Addie. I said, "We can't do this anymore. I can't live my life like this anymore." And then I got pregnant, and so I was already a month sober when I got pregnant with Addie, and when I got to meet his big family in Mississippi, I was like, "Oh my goodness, these people love everybody so much, and they're my kind of people." And that's what I realized, is I was like, "I want this. I want this family. I want this lifestyle. All these people that care so much about making so much food and so we started to make a life, and but." Our addictions took us back out, you know. My alcoholism got pretty bad. I started drinking a lot more because I didn't want to use anymore. That wasn't an option. So I told them, I said, "We can't do this anymore," and we got sober. I got my first 6 months. I was really excited. I was in CMA. At that point, I had decided it is time for me to get sober because I couldn't do it anymore. I knew we were going to lose our children if we did it again. Because I'd already been through that. So, I went to CMA. And, while I was there, I got my first year sober. And, I enjoyed it. I realized that, like, where that drug took me was, and I needed that specific program for me, and at that time. So I started to work the steps, and I went through almost all the steps with my first sponsor that I got serious with this, and but a resentment took me back out. But I was very grateful that when that resentment took me out, it didn't take me out like it had been before. It took me out on the alcohol. And God has a great way of showing up to let you know when you're off. So my nephew, Judd, was living with me at that point. I was trying to help him out. This is my brother's son. And I was having a shit week, and I decided to, let me back up. Judd came home from work, and I had a shit week. And when he came home from work, he had a rough day. And when he came home, he placed a bottle of liquor on my desk in my office at home. And I had been going to meetings because of that resentment I had for a fellow member. And it was right there. I took it. And I'll never forget, I remember telling myself, "This isn't a good idea. You've been through so much. This is going to work." And sure enough, my nephew, of all people, my brother's son, tried to make a move on me while I was drinking. And I'm like, "You know what? This is not going to happen. This is not going to happen." I got so angry, I broke my hand that night because I couldn't believe it was still happening. Every single time I pick up something, that insidious problem happens. And so I realized it was done. So June 24th of 2022, I was at a baseball game a couple weeks after all of that had happened with work, and I just couldn't keep it together. I drank too much at that office outing. And so I couldn't drive home. My husband had to come get me. And he had to go pick up pizza after he got me home. And I was horrible to my children that day. Horrible. And at that moment in my life, I realized I was never going to be able to be a good mom if I continued to do this. So I came in the next day and picked up my white chip. And let me tell you something. I had a fire in me so big this time to do the work, to really do everything it took. I mean, there were times I just didn't know if I was capable of staying sober, but I did. And I did the work and I tried. And I wanted this time. I wanted it from me this time. I wanted it so that I didn't have to feel so much pain anymore. And I could drop this baggage off. And let me tell you something. My fourth step was thorough. It was so thorough. I think the entire fourth step was 83 pages. And I dropped it all right there. And when I did, the most amazing things in my life started happening. I could not, for the life of you, explain it. All I know is that God showed up every single part of my life at that point. Every way I turned, He was there for me. He was in everything I did, in everything I saw, and He was there. And it was because that every morning that I came into these rooms and I saw all of you loving me day in and day out, even after I dropped all that baggage off. And I loved it. I really loved it. I felt at home. I felt a part of, and I was so grateful for it. That I kept telling my sponsor, I was like, I can't wait to give this back. I cannot wait to be a part of this with someone else who has worked so diligent with me. Man, my sponsor, God, I love her so much. She's an amazing woman. And the ladies in this room that I have personal relationships with, I love y'all so much. Today, my life is beautiful. It's not easy. Let me tell you, 3 kids, 22, 15, and 8. Let me tell you, full-time job that kicks my ass almost every day. But you know what? It's amazing. Even on the stressful days, even on the hard days, I can see my blessings so clearly. And that is what this program has given to me today, is that a sound mind and body. My body is healthy today. My mind is as clear as it's going to get. And I have fun. I have a lot of fun. I enjoy my life today. It is beautiful. The people in it, they crack me up. I am constantly looking for the next laugh, the next cry, because life is too short. And, that's one thing that I always knew from a very young age as a child, that there's a light inside of each and every one of us. And I just want to see it in other people, you know, and, I just needed that from you guys so that the darkness that I had could go away and that my light could shine too. I'm just going to read this and then I'll be done. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glory to your Father which is in heaven. Thank you.